Welcome to For Real Conversations, the podcast discussing the heartwarming and sometimes challenging world of life with our pets. I'm Lauren, a clinical animal behaviourist, and I'm going to embark on a journey to have honest conversations, discuss realities, and share stories of the joy, love, occasional chaos, and let's be honest, sometimes stress and anxiety that our fairy friends bring into our lives. When it comes to our pets, the conversations here are for real. Hello. So today I thought I would talk about canine body language and why it is so important and so useful for any dog owner to be able to recognize what their dog's body language means and how it helps us to, one, be able to understand our dog better, and two, to be able to communicate with them effectively. So a lot of the time, I think dog behaviorists can be seen as being dog whisperers and having some like magic ability to be able to communicate with dogs and make them do what we want or whatever. But actually, that's not true at all. And while it's a lovely idea, actually, what dog behavior is all about really is just being able to recognize what a dog is saying through their body language, what that means, how that relates to how they're feeling and what they're experiencing. And the term sort of dog whisperer is just a really odd one because we really don't have any like magic skill. It's all just about recognizing these things, understanding what they mean, understanding the science behind it, and being able to interpret it in the right context. So being able to understand body language is just so useful for anyone involved in dogs in general, because as I said, it allows that communication and it opens up doors to actually be able to understand our dogs, empathize with them, and actually be able to set them up for success in situations in life with our dogs. So there are many ways which dog body language can seem really confusing. So there's lots of misconceptions about what dog body language can mean, and actually getting it wrong and misinterpreting something in some circumstances can have detrimental consequences. So for example, if a dog is showing with their body language that they're worried about something or they're frustrated or fearful, and that's maybe misinterpreted as them being submissive or pleased to see you or whatever it might be, then that might become a dangerous situation if the dog is actually feeling and experiencing and trying to communicate one thing, but we're interpreting that as another, because it might mean that they need to escalate whatever body language they're showing to make it clearer to us what they mean. And then we might not like that when that might become aggressive, so they might start to show fear or worry or frustration or whatever negative emotion or experience might be by becoming what we consider aggressive, so things like growling and snapping and eventually biting. And obviously we don't want that. So actually being able to avoid that and really understand what body language means is so useful. So I'll talk a little bit about some of the misconceptions I've described. So a really common one is when dogs roll over onto their belly. So I hear so often that, or see so often, a dog will roll over onto their belly and it's interpreted as they want a belly rub and they're asking for a stroke and affection. And actually, it might be that in some circumstances. It's really important when we're thinking about body language that we consider context. However, often in that situation, it's actually a dog who's a little bit uncertain of the situation, and they are showing this rolling over onto their belly, exposing their belly, which is what we call appeasement behavior. And that is basically the dog trying to show you that they're not a threat. So they are actively trying to diffuse any tension and show you that they mean well and they don't want to be aggressive. They're worried by the situation. And so they're really actively trying to avoid any need to use that aggressive behavior. So they're not in any way actually asking you for a belly rub. They probably don't want that. They'd probably actually rather have their space in that situation, but they don't really know how else to respond. And they're showing this appeasement behavior, sometimes considered submissive behavior, in order to actually show you that they're not a threat and trying to ask for space, basically. So I think that's a very common misconception. And as I said, we really need to consider the context in these sorts of scenarios. So in some cases, a dog might roll over onto their belly and they're happy and relaxed and generally not worried by a situation. Then they may well be happy and just want a bit of a rub on the belly. And a really useful way to actually determine if that is the case is to just go towards the dog and see what they do. So see how they react. If they're then lying there and they're happy and content and they're really relaxed, there's no tension at all, and they stay in that position and they roll over further, then perhaps they actually do want that belly rub. So you can just then go to give them a little stroke and then just for a second, and then pause and consider further what their body language is showing you, and just give them that chance to actually show you further whether it's really what they want or not. So if instead they actually sort of move away, so they come out of that position, then that might be a signal that maybe they don't actually want that belly rub after all, and it is actually a show that maybe they want their space and they're just not quite sure how to cope in the situation. If they're maybe licking their lips or kind of giving side eye or look quite tense, then those are all things to suggest that actually your dog doesn't want a belly rub in that situation. They're rolling onto their belly as a sign that maybe they're not quite comfortable in the situation, and they're trying to diffuse that tension and show you they're not a threat to us as humans. So really important to consider any sign of a dog rolling onto their belly in the context of the situation. If there's any chance that there might be something a little bit worrying or conflicting or uncertain for them going on, then we should definitely avoid giving them that belly rub that we think they might be asking for, and instead just give them space. They're going to then have the opportunity to decide how they want to go for that interaction. And if they are wanting space, then they're probably going to be quite relieved. And hopefully then they might be able to move themselves away from the situation. Or if they are then feeling a bit happier, they're probably going to be grateful and thankful that they have been left alone. And it's going to help diffuse any tension going on in general. So it's quite common, and I think it's often something if a dog is maybe in a overwhelming situation, something that occurs. So for example, if you've got guests and the dog might not necessarily be afraid or fearful or worried by the visitors, they might just find their situation quite overwhelming. So actually just giving dogs space in these situations is really the best thing we can do, because it's always best wherever possible to avoid putting ourselves and our dogs in situations where we are giving them fuss and attention when actually they don't necessarily want it. So I think a waggy tail is another common misconception when we're talking about body language. So I think in society, it's often considered that a dog wagging their tail is a happy dog. But again, this is very much context dependent. So yes, sometimes a waggy tail might mean a happy dog if they're having a fuss and they're in a calm, happy situation and there's no chance whatsoever that they're worried or frustrated or overwhelmed by a situation. However, sometimes a wag might not necessarily indicate a happy dog, and it might instead suggest that the dog is maybe a little bit unsure of the situation. So generally, these are things which we really do need to consider the context, as I've said. So for example, if your dog is kind of doing a slow wag, then that might indicate that maybe they're sort of waiting to see and judging the situation. If it then turns into like a really frantic, happy wag, then that might suggest that they're then excited. But it's really important to remember that with excitement becomes a raise in general arousal levels. So the dog's arousal will increase because they're getting excited and that adrenaline's flowing. And their body is going into a stress response, a good type of stress, but their hormones are going. And that can all mean that the dog is going to potentially become more likely to become overwhelmed and just a bit overexcited by the situation. So that's when we really need to pay attention to body language. And actually, sometimes, just as I said, giving space is actually the best thing we can do in those situations. So I've touched a little bit on appeasement behavior in general when I was talking about dogs rolling over onto their belly. And appeasement behavior, I think, is probably something that is so often misunderstood in dogs. So it's often considered to be submissive behavior, where I think it's often considered that the dog is submitting and showing us that they understand that we're like higher ranking or pack leader or whatever. Actually, it's the reality of the situation is often just that they are uncertain of the situation. They're not quite sure how to interpret it. They're not necessarily sure how to interpret us and our body language and our interactions. So they are handling the situation by trying to show us that they are not a threat and they're nothing to worry about. So another type of common appeasement behavior is if a dog is becoming like excessively frantic and licking your face or just being really excited, that can sometimes be their way of just coping with the situation. So they're really trying to show you that they're there and they're happy and excited, but actually they might just be overwhelmed with the situation. So generally, dog body language can be very complicated, just like human body language can be. I mean, we communicate so much through our body language and we don't even realize we're doing it most of the time. And dogs are exactly the same. But obviously, dogs can't turn around and they can't talk to us. They can't tell us what's going on and what they're feeling. So that's why it is so important that we do pay attention to that body language so we can recognize when things maybe aren't quite right, or just so we can tell when our dog is really happy and calm and relaxed. So generally, I think most people have a pretty gut feeling when their dog is happy and comfortable because you've got a nice, calm, relaxed dog who doesn't look tense at all, and their whole body is nice and relaxed and content, and that's really, really great. And it's then if you start to have a subtle feeling that maybe something is going away from that, then it's really important to tune into that instinct and actually pay attention and try and research more what that might mean, because dogs do show so much subtle body language. And there's a really useful diagram called the ladder of aggression, or ladder of communication, as it's sometimes called. And basically what that means is it's a ladder of body language a dog will show. So starting off with really subtle body language and gradually reaching to the point of more obvious body language to show that a dog is not happy and not comfortable in a situation. And we really don't want to reach that point, because it's the point when we're going to start to potentially see aggressive behavior. So we might see growling from a dog, we might see snapping, we might see lunging and then biting. So some of the subtle signs that we might see at the bottom of the ladder can include things like lick their lips or lick their nose. They might hold their paw up into the air. They might sort of give you a bit of side eye and show the whites of their eyes. They might turn their head away and really try and look away. And all these things can build up to a tense body posture and build up to the point where the dog is actively showing obvious signs that they are not happy and not comfortable in the situation. So we really need to recognize that and appreciate what the dog is trying to show us and actually listen to it. Because if we don't listen to it, then the dog is likely to increase up that ladder and show their discomfort of the situation in a problematic way. And we want to avoid that at all costs, because for the best sorts of relationships with our dogs is we don't want them reaching that point. We don't want them ideally to need to show signs higher up the ladder. We want them to be calm and content. So actually being able to really recognize those lower signs can be so useful, because you can then identify it and go, right, okay, so my dog is really licking their lips there. They're sort of turning away. They're not looking happy. They're looking tense. So I'm going to recognize that. I'm going to try my best to defuse that situation. Maybe distract them, maybe move them away from whatever situation is making them uncomfortable, and then you can avoid escalation. So actually, body language has a major part in resolving and dealing with so many different behavioral problems. And actually being able to recognize it and understand it can really help us to actually have success in being able to overcome problems, particularly when we're dealing with problems such as aggression or anxiety or any problem in relation to how a dog is feeling. And obviously most behavioral problems have some element of a dog maybe feeling worried or anxious or frustrated or not feeling certain or feeling overwhelmed or conflicted by a situation. So it's really useful that we do understand their body language or learn to understand their body language so we can help them and deal with these problems as best as possible. So as I said, we really do always need to take things in their context. So actually observing body language based on a photograph or a snapshot in time isn't always useful because it doesn't necessarily show the context in which something's happening. So for example, there are behaviors which are called displacement behaviors. And these are things which a dog will do in the normal behaviors for certain situations that a dog will do in non-normal situations. So for an example would be is sometimes a dog will have a good shake, and we call this shaking off the stress. So it's a bit of a stress response. And this is a displacement behavior because it's the dog sort of shaking as they would do, say, if they just got out of water, but it's not in that situation. So it's in a out of context situation. So actually, if you recognize your dog doing that, so if they just sort of shake randomly out of the blue, then it can suggest that maybe they're trying to figure out a situation, or that it doesn't necessarily mean they're uncomfortable or worried. It just means that perhaps they're a little bit uncertain, or that they're trying to figure something out and they're not quite sure how to handle the situation. So they're dealing with that sort of uncertain stress energy by sort of shaking it off. So it's a bit of a coping mechanism for the situation. So there are various behaviors such as that which can happen. So yawning is another one. If there's no chance of them being sleepy and they yawn out of context, then that can be a sign again that perhaps they're a little bit unsure of something or trying to figure out a situation. So these sorts of things are so useful to think about and think about the context they're happening in. So sometimes I think the problem with this can be, it can be really difficult to actually figure out where things are coming from. So it can be easy to sometimes actually read a little bit too much into body language. And I can't believe I'm saying that, because I'm always banging on about how important it is to be able to understand and read it properly. But actually, if we become a little bit hyper aware and hyper anxious ourselves of things, then we can sometimes make situations worse. Say, for example, it's really useful to watch and observe things and recognize what's going on, and then think about how we can think about what the situation might mean, think about the context it's in, rather than jumping to conclusions in that moment and actually accidentally misinterpreting what it might mean. So, for example, if your dog does see another dog across the road and they have a good shake, so they're shaking off the stress, then it's easy to actually look at that and think, oh no, my dog's worried, they're anxious, I must get them out of this situation now. But actually, it might just be that they're just figuring it out. So they're just taking a moment to acknowledge the other dog and just take it all in. So sometimes these things are just a normal way of the body coping with that stress and sort of uncertain or moment in time. So it's not necessarily always something to be concerned about, but the more we actually observe our dogs and recognize these things, we can actually then start to build up an idea of when things might be becoming concerning. So with my two dogs, I know each one, so I can read each one very well, and I know what their different signs are that perhaps something may be likely to escalate. So for example, with my dog Poppy, she's a very anxious natured dog. She's generally gets quite worried easily by things. She can become frustrated very quickly. She's a very territorial dog in that she's worried about people approaching her home, and she will show that at home by barking. And a lot of the time with Poppy, when she's at home and if someone was to say approach the house, they would think that she's a very probably think that she's a very confident dog because she's very full on in that moment. She'll be barking and she'll be very aroused, and she would probably bite in that situation if she was provoked enough. We do our absolute best to just keep her as calm as possible and avoid those situations where possible. However, actually in those situations, despite appearing quite a confident dog in that she's really showing her intentions of her behavior by barking, she's actually really worried and unsure in that situation. And then when she's actually out of that confrontational moment, or if she's somewhere she isn't so familiar with, so if we're out and about and she's approached and feels like her space is being threatened, she will actually do the opposite, and she'll really go into herself, and she'll look very obviously anxious. So she will cower in the corner, she'll shake, and she'll hold her paw up into the air. So obviously we want to avoid these sorts of situations as much as possible, because that's quite extreme behavior for Poppy that would suggest that she's really anxious and not comfortable and not sure in a situation. So it's all about kind of building up those observations and recognizing what it means for your dog, what they're able to cope with, and where they might need that support. So another example would be my dog Ivy, who generally is a really happy, sociable dog. However, she's sometimes can be a little bit uncertain of Poppy. She's lived with Poppy since she was a puppy, and generally Poppy is quite good with other dogs. However, she can sometimes be quite, she can sometimes lack tolerance. And so Ivy did learn growing up with her that she couldn't always, like, pestering her, she might end up receiving body language from Poppy to suggest that she'd had enough, basically. And so when Ivy was a puppy and they were playing together, I would always try and keep things short and sweet and monitor things for any sign that Poppy had had enough, so that Poppy didn't need to escalate her behavior and show Ivy that she'd had enough in ways such as moving up that ladder of communication. So I do now notice quite often now that Ivy will sometimes be a little bit unsure of Poppy in certain situations. So most of the time they rub along together fine and they tolerate each other and sometimes they enjoy each other's company. However, there are the odd time where I can tell that Ivy isn't quite comfortable with Poppy's presence. And usually how I can tell that is she'll lick her lips a lot. So that's a really key sign with Ivy that she's sort of unsure or not quite comfortable with something. She'll also kind of give side eye a little bit and turn her head away and look a bit sort of sheepish and like she's not sure of the situation. So any signs of that, I will then usually be in there to try and diffuse tension just so that it doesn't start to escalate. However, I also sometimes will just watch and see to see whether they're going to actually diffuse tension themselves, because dogs are usually quite good at reading other dogs' body language. Not all the time. Again, very context dependent, depends very much on an individual dog's upbringing and experiences. Some dogs may be absolutely rubbish at reading other dogs' body language, just like humans can sometimes be better. Some will be better than others at being able to interpret a social situation. However, generally, I know with Poppy and Ivy that generally they will be quite good at diffusing tension themselves, but it's just keeping an eye on monitoring that situation so that I know when I need to intervene to make sure that they don't need to escalate their behavior and end up having a disagreement between themselves, which might end up something like growling at one another or snapping at one another and then eventually sort of fighting, which obviously we don't want, and we want to avoid that. So it's all really about just watching and observing your dog and being able to build up a picture of what's going on for them as an individual, taking things in context and really thinking about what a situation might mean, and trying to not necessarily assume that a behavior a dog shows is something if we're not 100% certain. So if you've got any inclination that something might not be what we think it is, then we need to listen to that gut feeling and actually do a little bit more research, observe them a little bit more, and avoid putting them in situations. So I think a really common one there is, again, that appeasement behavior where dogs are actually asking for space and it's perceived as being that they are wanting attention or wanting a fuss. And yeah, as I said at the beginning, it can lead to worrying and sometimes dangerous situations if they do feel the need to escalate their behavior. And I think a lot of the time of aggressive behavior, it can be very common for people to say, the growl or the bite just, it came out of nowhere. And actually that might sometimes be the case. However, usually there is some background and the dog has been showing body language in some way to suggest that they're not 100% sure about the situation. So we do really need to think carefully about the situations we are putting our dogs in and actually really being able to recognize just the subtle signs that your dog might be showing that you might normally think nothing of. So watching how their body posture is, watching for signs such as those displacement behaviors and appeasement behaviors. So holding their paw in the air or licking their lips and nose and side eye or turning their head away or just looking really tense and unsure, maybe just staring a little bit too much, all these signs which are just important to note. And they might not necessarily mean that your dog is, in this instant, going to escalate their responses. However, over time, if they start to learn that those responses or earlier subtler signs aren't necessarily respected or noticed, then they are going to start to figure out that they need to use more obvious body language and communication to show us that they're not feeling comfortable and not sure about a situation. And that's what we want to avoid, because we don't want to reach the point where our dogs are needing to use aggression. So I hope that's given you a little bit of understanding about dog body language. And there's so many fantastic resources out there which give a lot of guidance about body language. So definitely do go and do your research. And as I said, I think the best thing is just really watching and observing your individual dog and building up a picture of actually the sorts of signs they show and what a happy dog, happy, relaxed and calm dog looks like for your individual dog. And then again, what a maybe slightly unsure, unsettled or worried dog looks like for your dog. Thank you for joining me for Real Conversations, the podcast discussing life with our pets. I'd love to learn more about the experiences you've had with your pets. So message me on social media or drop me an email to let me know what conversations you want to hear more about. You can also head to my website, forrealconversations.co.uk, where you can learn more about me and take a look at my previous podcast episodes and pet training and behaviour blogs. And I'll be back soon to continue these For Real Conversations.